stuff, and also, you know, learning a lot from you guys. I'm always being taught by the youth about new things and different things, young people culture and stuff, learning new words, like, I don't know what basic meant before, or, you know, what it means to be lit, or whatever. I learning about new memes going around. Like, I went to watch this drama show that Esther's school put on, and there are so many, like, things inside that drama thing that was, like, from the internet that I didn't really know about before. Like yoga, like laughing yoga or something like that, or that improves your health. Like, I was like, what is that? So learning a lot of new things and always finding ways to apply them. So by this time, Jesus, he had many disciples. A disciple is a learner, and he had many of them. Many who followed him around listening to his teachings. And he was pretty famous. He was a good speaker. And he was powerful. So to people like Simon Peter, right, to people like James, John, Andrew, Levi, these were all people that Jesus said, hey, follow me. Come be my disciple. Learn what I'm doing. This invitation was also extended to many other people. And we find out that some of these people, they followed. Some people didn't. In verse 13, kind of going back to what Brother Nick talked about last week, if we look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13, if you will turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 13 with me, I'll just give you guys a minute to open up your Bibles or use your phone or tablet. And just follow along when you get there. So, you know, in Luke 13, it says, chapter 6, verse 13, it says, when morning came, all right, Jesus, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 among them, whom he also designated apostles. All right, so he called 12 disciples, or he called his disciples to him, and from those disciples, many disciples, he chose 12. All right, so apostle means, you know, one who was sent. This person usually had firsthand experience of the teacher, and he was given authority and power to do things on behalf of the one who sent him. So we'll find later on that, you know, these apostles are sent to teach and to preach and to heal people, to perform miracles, and they all went on behalf of Jesus. So you might think, okay, well, these 12 disciples, right, they are chosen out of these many disciples. You might think that they're special, right? Like, why these 12? Are they special? As in fact, as we will learn, these 12 disciples, they weren't anything special. In fact, they were nobodies. You know, if they weren't 12 disciples, we probably wouldn't even know their names today. Right? They weren't the smartest. They weren't the most popular. They weren't the most well-behaved, you know, or the most wealthiest. More than half of these who believed and followed Jesus, they were fishermen. There's two who had were known to have temper and anger issues. There was one who was a zealot, right? Who was basically someone who is like all for like national Israel, the Jewish people. Let's rebel. Let's revolt. Let's fight against these Romans. Let's free ourselves. There was one who was a tax collector, right? Who was deemed a sinner and shunned by all the Jewish people because he was, you know, kind of like a traitor. He worked for the Romans and he was kind of like taking more money from them than he was supposed to. People didn't like him. And then there's someone called Judas, right? Iscariot, who was actually titled, you know, a traitor. Someone who betrayed Jesus. Someone who sold him off for 30 pieces of silver. These were his disciples. Right? They weren't anything special, right? They weren't impressive at all. But these were the people that left everything to follow Jesus, though. Remember the Levi, the tax collector? When Jesus came to his booth that one day, Jesus said, hey, follow me. And at that moment, Levi had to think, am I going to put aside this lucrative business? You know, he's well off. Is he going to put this aside? Is he going to stop cheating people and you know, scamming them? He had to think, right? Because once he leaves, he can't go back. It's a high cost for him. So these disciples made a sacrifice, right, in order to learn from Jesus, to follow Jesus, to know who he is. It took a sacrifice. Perhaps their parents felt like they were foolish for doing that. Maybe their friends like like just couldn't understand. They're like, you know, like that's so dumb. Maybe they ridiculed them. Maybe people disagreed with their new way of life, their new way of living. So this new life is what we're going to kind of talk about in the next 4 weeks. You know, if we call ourselves Jesus' disciples, then we ought to be obeying his teachings. That's fundamental. Right? And for those of you who don't know if you're a disciple or not, don't know if you want to be, I invite you to take the next 4 weeks to examine you know, kind of what it is to follow Jesus. Like, what are these teachings that Jesus gives? Is it worth, you know, like laying down everything and going after? You know, see what Jesus has to say about values in life, what he has to say about relationships in life, or what he says about, you know, just being like a decent human being, what he says about, you know, building your life upon who he is, upon his teachings. What does that look like? I want to see for yourself what kind of person Jesus is and what kind of disciples he was making. And maybe some of his teachings will resonate with you. Maybe you're like, yes, like this makes sense. And so disciples, they're paying a high price to follow Jesus. So what do you think the disciples, they need right now? They paid a high price of cost. What do you think they need right now? I think they need comfort and encouragement. They need to be told, like, they need to be reassured that, hey, you know, what you did, it's good. It's the right thing. It's the best thing that you could have done. And that's exactly what Jesus gives them right now. So, I think my clicker is over here. Okay, so turn with me to Luke chapter 6 if you still haven't. And I actually have the verses on the slide here. And let's read this together, everyone together. It's kind of long, but let's read this together, all right? So 1, 2, 3. And he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cursed, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing him. Oh, my bad. Oh, whoa. That jumped all the way. All right. Oh, hey, cool. Yeah. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." All right. Amen. So as we see here, right, a large crowd of disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over the area, right? So there are disciples there, but there's also some other people who might just be interested, like, oh, why is this guy so popular? Right? There's all these people came, and they came for all various reasons. Some of them had needed to be healed, who had impure spirits. People wanted to touch him to be healed. Some people wanted to listen to his teachings, right? So a bunch of people were there for all different reasons. And then we get to verse 20. Looking at his disciples, so this message, this teaching here is specifically for his disciples, right? People who are learning from him. And let's look at what he says, because it's really interesting. It says that, you know, it says, as we saw, there's a blessed are you. You know, and there's four of them, and then we get to the next part. It says, you know, woe to you, like four. So it seems that there are two types of people. One type of person, you know, who is blessed, and one type of person who basically receives woe. And before we can really understand, you know, what this passage is trying to say, we have to understand what these words mean. Okay. So in this passage, blessed, it means to be like supremely happy. Okay. Supremely happy and favored. So favored means that you're like specially chosen. It's a privilege. And in this context, God is the one who chooses you, who shows favor to you, right, who blesses you. So if we compare blessed to when Jesus says, woe to you, it's kind of the opposite. It means that you're in this pain. You're in this suffering. It's not good. Right? It's not good. And instead, you actually receive God's wrath. Okay, instead of his blessings, you receive his wrath. So with this in mind, let's dive into these verses. All right, so when you guys read this, okay, blessed are you who are poor. Okay, so like, wow, like these poor people are immensely happy. They're immeasurably happy, and they're blessed. Like, how many of you guys think that makes sense? Any raise of hands that yes, that's right? Yeah? Oh yeah, no, not many. I don't think anyone of us raised our hands, right? So like, this just sounds terrible, right? So, the word poor can actually be understood two ways. Okay. One is economically, like possessions, money, wealth, physical wealth. And another way is understood as spiritually poor. Okay, and we're going to talk about these two different ways. So let's talk about the first way first, okay? So as we just talked about, poor people being happy, that doesn't really make sense to us. Just the way the world is, to be rich is to... is to have abundance, and to have abundance, signifies blessing. As Chinese people, really love blessing, right? They like to be rich, to have fortune, prosperity, good health. Just think about the Chinese character, right? That they have all over the place, like on Chinese New Year or something. To be rich and have abundance, this is desirable. Right? You want this. Like you work hard so you can have this, right? So you want to live in a nice neighborhood, right? You want to drive a nice car. You want to have like all the gadgets, right? The fashionable clothes. You want to be able to go on vacations, right? Take breaks. You want to buy what you want to buy when you want to buy it. And if I had money, then I could do anything, right? If I just had money, I would be happy. And that's kind of how the world, makes us think. But here Jesus says no, right? He says the exact opposite. Right? Those who are poor are blessed. So then it begs the question, like, why? So right after this comma right here, it says for. So this is kind of giving us the reason now. So it's for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So the poor are blessed because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are a part of God's kingdom. In this sense, it also means that they are a part of God's people, which means that they have received salvation. Right? They have hope. They have peace. They know their eternal destiny. So that's why they are blessed. Do you guys think that's a good answer? What do you guys think? How many of you guys feel this way? Can you say that you're happy and fortunate because you are saved? Can you say that? And so if you say yes, that means that being a part of God's kingdom somehow makes like everything okay. That even if you're poor, if you don't have a lot, but if you're a part of God's kingdom, then that's great. Even if in this life we don't have much, that's okay. Because the kingdom of God is extremely valuable. It's precious. And so the second way, right, we understand poor is spiritually poor. So spiritually poor means that you recognize yourself as inadequate before God. That because of your sin, there's nothing that you could do to save yourself, and you're hopeless. and that you need God. You recognize your need for God. And you humble yourself before God. And you say to God, I'm sick. I need a doctor. Right? Because Jesus came not for the righteous, right? He came for the sinner. He didn't come for the healthy, right? He came to heal the sick. Right, so to these poor people, these spiritually poor people who humble themselves before God, to them the kingdom of God is amazing. Right? It's awesome. So if we look at it in this sense, it's no doubt. Like, there should be no reason why these poor people aren't happy. Right? Immensely happy. Fortunate. So now let's look at verse 21. We've got a lot of verses today. So it says that, you know, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. So if you have no food to eat, okay, you're starving, maybe you have less than enough, maybe you're living in poverty, right? Like a lot of this world, you know, I mean, America's a rich place, right? We might feel like, oh, I'm in poverty, but like, man, compared to other people in other countries, like, we're not in poverty. So maybe something went wrong, there's a drought or shortage of food, maybe there's war or famine, right? People don't have food, right? They're hungry. But Jesus says to them, blessed are you who hunger now in the present. For the reason being, right, for you will be satisfied. So in the future, you're going to be satisfied. So in the future, you won't be in a perpetual state of hunger. So I think a lot of us, we don't struggle with that. And that's not us. But for other people in other parts of the world, it is. Right? They struggle. Just like his disciples, Jesus' disciples, all types of backgrounds. Some of them, you know, may have had plenty of food, but it doesn't mean that they didn't know like what hunger was around them. Not everyone was wealthy, and they may have tried to meet the needs of people, but you can only do so much, right? But there will be one day when that hunger is satisfied. And then let's look at the next two. Let's look at the next two right here. They kind of go together. So it says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. So this weeping is not a tears of joy. It's actually crying from pain, from sorrow, from suffering. Because those who weep are blessed, for they will laugh. So laughter is, you know, one of the joys of life, right? We laugh when we hear something funny. We laugh, you know, maybe when something good happens. Laughter is, you know, tied in with good times, happiness. And when times are tough, like, you know, it's hard to even smile, right? So he says here that laughter will come to those who weep now. Who weep now. So this seems kind of odd, but let's kind of see why Jesus is saying this. Let's look at the next one. It says, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. So this stuff is going to happen to you if you are a disciple of Jesus. This stuff is happening or will happen to you. Okay. This will happen to you. So, and these things are things that have happened to these disciples or, you know, will happen. You know, people will exclude you. People will reject you. They'll insult you. They'll hate you. It was a reality. Right? Tradition says that a lot of Jesus' disciples, they became martyrs. A martyr is someone who dies for what they believe. So I'm just gonna read a passage from this book that I'm using to disciple our youth called Not a Fan. You know, it talks about that. So let me read that. It says here, history and church tradition tells us that many of those who followed Jesus when he was here on earth ended up on that road, meaning this road of persecution. So according to tradition, Matthew was killed by a sword in Ethiopia. Okay. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece. Right, Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during a missionary trip. Jude, the brother of Jesus, was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. James was beheaded in Jerusalem. These were his disciples. I mean, right? Well, this is something that they decided to do because they saw God's kingdom as worth it, as valuable. They saw following Jesus as valuable. Right? So in our world today, we might not, here in America, we might not, you know, experience this type of persecution. But I'm sure that in other countries they do. And we can still relate to that in some sense. I'm sure many of us, we know the feeling of being hated. I mean, maybe we've hated someone before. Or the feeling of being excluded. Or the feeling of being rejected, insulted. Right? It's horrible, right? Right? People, you know, they go into depression. You know, people, they might avoid going to school. They skip school. They fake being sick. You know, they might commit suicide. Right, this stuff, it really gets to people. Right? Let me read another passage from this book. It's about a missionary who went to a tribal area in Africa to share the gospel. And this is what he experienced there. It says this: "A few years ago, I was pretty deep in some tribal areas of Africa. One night, I finished preaching a message to a crowd of a few dozen people. I presented the gospel and the invitation of Jesus to follow him. There were two young men, probably in their 20s, so pretty young, who accepted Christ and committed to following him. The following afternoon, these two men showed up at the house where we were staying. They each carried a good-sized bag over their shoulder. I went over and asked the local missionary we were staying with why they were here. And he explained that these two men would no longer be welcomed by their families or in their village. When I heard that, I was afraid that maybe this was going to be more than they were willing to go with. About that time, the missionary said to me, they knew this would happen when they made the decision. They were choosing Jesus over their families. They were choosing Jesus over their own comfort and convenience. And fans don't do that. Right? Followers are willing to deny themselves and say, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus over everything else. Right? Hatred, exclusion, insult, rejection. Like, these are things that we usually try to avoid. Right? We want to be accepted by people. We want to be loved by people. We want, you know, to treat people well and to be treated well by people. Right? So why would anyone in their right mind go and be the disciple of Jesus if this is what's going to happen to them? Because in verse 23, we find our answer. Let's go on. It says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. So there's our answer. In that day, meaning, you know, when these terrible things happen here, they can leap for joy. They can rejoice in that day, because in heaven is their great reward. Like, the life as a disciple of Jesus, it may be difficult, it may be challenging. You might feel like you're at a disadvantage in life. But yet, because of this future reward, you are blessed. Like, this future reward is what you hold on to as you take on whatever life throws at you. And this reward, right, when we think about rewards, it's something that you know, you did to earn it, right? You get rewarded for what? Good behavior. You get rewarded for, you know, like doing well or something like that. Or you know, you did something and you earned it, right? That's a reward, right? You found someone's lost puppy or something like that. You turned, you know, gave it back to the owner. They gave you some money, right? It's a reward. You did something. But in this sense, you know, we actually don't deserve this reward. There's nothing that we did that can deserve this reward, right? To be part of God's kingdom. But yes, God still gives it to us out of his grace. But yet, nevertheless, there is a reward. Okay, And a lot of times this Bible will talk about this reward is kind of dependent on your faithfulness, what you did in this life as his disciple. Right? Rewards will vary for people in heaven. So this is a measure, this is a message of comfort and encouragement. Jesus is saying, hang in there. Hold on. Like, don't give up. This is great news, right? But it doesn't come without a caveat. So in the end of verse 23, it says, right, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. Right, so it's talking about, you know, all this persecution here. Right, this is how ancestors, you know, treated the prophets. So if we think about the prophets, think we'll go back to the Old Testament, think about minor prophets, major prophets. A lot of these prophets were persecuted. Right, they're mistreated. Maybe they're killed, they're tortured. Like some of them for fear of their life, you know, they were hiding in caves. These were prophets. But these are prophets of God, who truly knew God, who truly followed who God was. And because of that, you know, they were persecuted. So what Jesus is saying here is this, that persecution is a sign that you are truly God's people. If you are experiencing persecution, it's a sign that you are God's people. And so for each of us, how are we faring? How's it going for us? So I'm not going to go into these woes because they're pretty much just the opposite. So I'm not going to go too much into that. But I do want to talk about, you know, this third one and the fourth one a little bit. So those who seem to, you know, have a good time, right? Those who are laughing now, you know, enjoying life, you know, like no problems because, you know, they don't care about who God is, right? You know, everyone who speaks well of you, who just wants to be liked and accepted by people, and just do anything to, you know, please people, or just to, you know, enjoy life, right? It says this, that those who seem to have a good time without conflicts, you know, they're in trouble then. They're in trouble. Because it shows that they are actually just fake disciples. Fake disciples. So you can come, listen to Jesus' teachings, follow him around, but you could be a fake disciple. Outwardly, you could be doing all the right things, but you could be a fake disciple. So if you call yourself a disciple, a follower of Jesus, right, yet your life is just nice and it's comfortable, then there's something wrong. Right? There's an indicator that something's wrong. Right? If you're learning from Jesus, learning about his teachings, right, but it's not pushing you out of your comfort zone, then there's something wrong. Right? If you aren't being challenged by God's word, then there's something that's wrong. And God is serious. I mean, he's not playing games. And he takes people seriously. So I want you to reflect upon your own life and ask yourself, right, these two questions, okay? When was the last time I rejoiced and leapt for joy when I was challenged to obey God because I knew how great my reward was in heaven? Right? Think about that. Many of Jesus' disciples, they became martyrs. Right? Those two men in Africa, they were rejected by their families, or they're kicked out of their village. And those are that's just you know, one story among many. Like, you kick out your village, maybe you don't have a way to sustain yourself, you can't earn money, right, to buy food, you might be hungry, you have no shelter, right? No one's gonna hire you. Right? Maybe your friends rejected you, you don't have friends anymore. You don't even have a family that supports you. All because you decided, I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. And so what has it costed you to follow Jesus and become his disciple? Do you feel conflict? Right? Do you feel conflict? Well, that's all what we have time for today. I really want you guys to think about this, because in the next 4 weeks, we're going to really talk about more about Jesus' teachings. The next one is about loving your enemies. Another one of Jesus' teachings. Like, how, you know, what is that all about? And as a disciple, how are you supposed to, what are you supposed to be like? What are you supposed to look like? Right. I actually titled these sermons, it's going to be called The Ideal Disciple. The Ideal Disciple. Right. What a disciple is supposed to look like? How are they supposed to act? What are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to think? Right. As they follow Jesus. Right. So it's just part one. So, you know, as we turn our attention to the bread and the cup, Jesus and his disciples, you know, they shared communion together. They ate together. Those that followed him, who listened to him, who obeyed him, who wanted to be like Jesus in every way possible, they ate this with Jesus. So this bread, right, or these crackers here, you know, it's just a symbol of Jesus' body, which was broken for you. When he died on the cross, when he suffered, right, people hated him. Right, people rejected him, insulted him, spit on him, slapped him. Right? But he endured that for you because he loved you. Right, so this is his body broken for us. And here we have it's not wine, but it's just grape juice. Right? This represents the blood of Jesus, which was poured out for you on the cross. Right? When he suffered, when he sacrificed himself for you. Right? When we should have died because of our sins, right? Jesus, he came down and said, "Hey, I'm dying for you, right? And you live for me." Right? Jesus died to give us life, new life. So, you know, before you come forward, you just talk to God. Say, "God, you know, man, I'm following you, but you know, maybe I'm not doing so well right now. I'm following you, but it's hard, it's challenging." Talk to God. Maybe it's God like, "Hey, I haven't experienced persecution before. Like, God, like, why?" Talk to God. You know, confess your sins to him. He knows everything already, but you know, prayer is communicating with God. Right? Just talk to God. Close your eyes, just talk to God. Ask for forgiveness. You know, if there's anyone, you know, in which you need to, you know, make right a relationship, if you need to ask for forgiveness from someone, you know, if you need to apologize to someone here, you know, do that before coming here. Because this is eating, we're eating together. Together. It's also a time for celebration, remembering what Jesus did for us. And us here, if we are part of God's kingdom, we are part of God's family, you know, it's a joyous time. And when you're ready, you know, please come forward to take bread and cup. If you do need any help, any assistance, we do have ushers here to assist you. We have Elder Jerry and Howard. So please do not hesitate to ask. Thank you. Does everyone have that needs? Or anyone? Or you want me to bring something for you? Oh, you have? Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, please take. Yes. Anyone else? You are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. I invite you to come. Anybody else? Somehow we always have just enough. It's really amazing. Like, this is the second time it's happened. All right. Okay, so would you please rise? I don't know. Elder Jerry, did you count it out? Or how did you know how people are coming? Okay. All right. That's amazing. All right. So, right. Guys, smile. You know, this is a joyous occasion. Remembering that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Right. He's coming back again. All right. So, let's pray. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, or as we take your bread, as your body, as your cup, your blood, we recognize and remember what you've done for us. Are we eternally grateful? Are we need you? Or we are inadequate to live this life without you? Or as we humble ourselves before you, Lord, would you come and empower us, Lord, to do your good will, that we will be able to follow you with all that we have, with all that we are, or to be committed, or to being a long-term learner of you. Lord, we thank you so much for this, allowing us to share this together as a family, that we can, as we eat this, Lord, it's fellowshipping with each other and with you. All right, thank you so much. In praise the name of Jesus. All right, let's eat.